And Chelsea must beat Norsland to have any chance of avoiding becoming the first holders to go out in the group stage in their Champions League title defence. Celtic host Spartak Moscow and must beat Benfica's result at Barcelona to ensure they progress. That's the latest. I'm Barry Weir.
This is Phoenix FM.
Movie. Flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go fly.
Guidance.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go fly.
Ecom.
We're go fly.
GNC.
We're go.
Tell me.
Go.
Control.
Go fly.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Showtime.
It's Wednesday, it's 6pm, it's very cold outside, but it's time for the Stage and Screen Show. I'm Dan Kajewski and you're listening to Phoenix FM.
Back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Thank you.
From the movie Three Men and a Little Lady, released in 1990, that was Boy Meets Girl with Waiting for a Star to Fall, a great 80s track to get the show off the ground this week. The movie was a sequel to the hit American comedy Three Men and a Baby, which was released a few years earlier in 1987, and both films starred Tom Selleck, Ted Danson and Steve Guttenberg, three actors who were household names at the time, Selleck for Magnum P.I., Danson for Cheers and Guttenberg for this. Written by Robert Folk, that was the original theme to the 1984 comedy Police Academy, directed by Hugh Wilson and starring Steve Guttenberg and Kim Cattrall. The film grossed approximately $146 million worldwide and spawned six more films in the Police Academy series. Composer Robert Folk scored the majority of the Police Academy movies, but still found time to work on other films, including the hugely popular Neverending Story 2. Although he can't claim to have written the Neverending Story theme itself, which was released in 1986.
Believe a man.
That was the theme to The Neverending Story by Giorgio Moroder and Keith Forsey. The Neverending Story was a German-American epic fantasy based on the novel of the same name by Michael Eden. That draws to the close our 80s intro to this week's show.
Phoenix FM.
Well, we'll shortly be changing the pace and getting stuck into some classic movie themes. But first, here is this week's stage news update. The arena production of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Jesus Christ Superstar will return next year, with Tim Minchin, Melanie C and Chris Moyles all reprising their roles. Ben Forster, who was cast as Jesus after appearing on the ITV show Superstar, will also return for the new tour. It will begin on March the 10th in Nottingham and then tour around the UK, ending in Birmingham on March the 28th. Lloyd Webber said, "This year's tour was the first ever UK arena tour of Jesus Christ Superstar and it surpassed our expectations. The response from audiences across the UK and Ireland was overwhelming, and the show was everything I hoped for." In the production, Minchin plays Judas, Melanie C plays Mary Magdalene, and Moyles played Herod. Alex Hansen, who played Pontius Pilate for the original run, also returns next year. The musical is a co-production between AEG Live and The Really Useful Group. Michael Elwyn, Nathaniel Parker and Rufus Wright are set to star in The Audience by Peter Morgan next year. Elwyn will play Anthony Eden, while Parker has been cast as Gordon Brown, alongside Wright in the role of David Cameron. They join the already announced Helen Mirren as the Queen and Hayden Gwynn in the role of Margaret Thatcher. Robert Hardy will play Winston Churchill and Paul Ritter will appear as John Major. Final casting will be announced shortly. Directed by Stephen Daldry, the production will run at the Gielgud Theatre from February the 15th and is booking until June the 15th, 2013. Lee Evans and Sheila Hancock are to star in the world premiere of Barking in Essex by Clive Exton. The production will play at the Wyndham's Theatre from September next year. Exton, who wrote the scripts for the television series Jeeves and Wooster, penned the play in 2005 before sadly passing away in 2007. The play will run from September the 6th, 2013. Shakespeare's Globe's new indoor Jacobean-style theatre will be named the Sam Wanamaker Theatre after the organisation's founder, with its first production due to be staged in early 2014. The £7.5 million project includes building the new theatre and redeveloping the existing foyer space at the Globe, which will allow the organisation to stage performances all year round. Dominic Drongul, the venue's artistic director, has revealed that the indoor wooden theatre will be predominantly lit up by 100 candles. He said that this lighting arrangement, along with the decoration and acoustics, will reflect the 17th century theatre practices that have inspired the venue's design. New productions opening in London this week. Tonight is the official world premiere of The Bodyguard at the Adelphi Theatre in London, starring Heather Headley and Lloyd Owen, and directed by Thea Sharrock. The show is based on the Warner Brothers film of the same name, screenplay by Lawrence Kasdan, and features a multitude of Whitney Houston hits, including Queen of the Night, One Moment in Time, Saving All My Love, I Want to Dance with Somebody, and of course, I Will Always Love You. Also opening tonight, Simon Callow stars in A Christmas Carol at the Arts Theatre, and then tomorrow, Zeusicle the Musical also opens at the Arts Theatre. Join the Cat in the Hat as he takes you on a journey into the fantastical, bombastical and songtastical world of Dr. Zeus. The show is written by Stephen Flaherty and Lynn Hearns and co-conceived by Eric Idle. And then next week, on Tuesday the 11th, Viva Forever, the Spice Girls musical, opens at the Piccadilly Theatre. Book by Jennifer Saunders and starring Sally Ann Triplett. And more locally, on Friday, Brentwood Theatre and Vivid Musical Theatre's production of Peter Rabbit and His Friends opens at the Brentwood Theatre. Based on the book by Beatrix Potter, this magical musical adaptation sees Miss Potter herself taking you through the stories of four of her most beloved characters: Mrs. Tiggy Winkle, the Washerwoman Hedgehog, Mrs. Thomasina Tittlemouse, the House Proud Mouse, and of course, the two very naughty rabbits, Benjamin Bunny and Peter Rabbit. The show runs from the 8th to the 30th of December, and tickets can be booked by calling the Brentwood Theatre box office on 01277 200 305. last Alfred Hitchcock comes to the stage and screen show. That was the theme to his 1958 psychological thriller Vertigo, which starred James Stewart and Kim Novak. Now, interestingly, the film popularised the dolly zoom, which was an in-camera effect that distorts perspective to create disorientation, in this case to convey a character's agoraphobia. As a result of its use here, the filmmaking technique is often referred to as the Vertigo effect. The film was only nominated for 2 Academy Awards for Best Art Direction and Best Sound, but is widely regarded as one of the defining works of Hitchcock's career. The music was written by composer Bernard Herrmann, who is best known for his frequent collaborations with Hitchcock. Besides Vertigo, he scored Psycho, The Man Who Knew Too Much, and this, possibly my favourite Hitchcock movie. That was Bernard Herrmann's theme to the 1959 movie North by Northwest, starring Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint, and directed, of course, by Alfred Hitchcock. The screenplay for the film was written by Ernest Lehman, who wanted to write the Hitchcock picture to end all Hitchcock pictures, which some would say he actually did. North by Northwest is a tale of mistaken identity and sees an innocent man pursued across the United States by agents of a mysterious organization who want to stop his interference in their plans to smuggle out microfilm containing government secrets. Gripping, suspenseful, and visually iconic, the film undoubtedly laid the groundwork for the countless action thrillers to follow.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
As well as the previously mentioned Hitchcock movies, composer Bernard Herrmann's impressive CV also includes works such as Citizen Kane, Taxi Driver, and the original Cape Fear, which was released in 1962. Although the theme to Martin Scorsese's 1991 remake is equally impressive and equally unsettling. That was the theme to Martin Scorsese's 1991 remake of Cape Fear, which starred Robert De Niro, Nick Nolte, and Gregory Peck, amongst others. The music was written by the great Elmer Bernstein, responsible for such classics as The Magnificent Seven, The Great Escape, and The Ten Commandments. And he also wrote this memorable piece of film music for another picture featuring Gregory Peck.
Thank you.
Elmer Bernstein's theme to Robert Mulligan's 1962 big screen adaptation of Harper Lee's novel To Kill a Mockingbird, starring Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch and Robert Duvall in his film debut as the misunderstood recluse Boo Radley. The movie was nominated for 8 Academy Awards, one of which was for Best Score for Elmer Bernstein, and actually went on to win 3, including Best Actor for Gregory Peck.
Phoenix FM.
And on that note, let's take a look at this week's screen news update, sent to us by our film correspondent Vicky Bufton, all the way from Morocco. Bryan Singer has been doing some Twitter announcements about the forthcoming X-Men Days of Future Past. He's confirmed Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen will appear, along with the original cast of X-Men First Class. This means that future movies involving all of the original characters who you know and love will see Xavier's and Magneto's messing around with the time continuum and bumping into each other along the unusual hi-fi sci-fi highway. The lovely and talented Kate Blanchett is in talks to take over the iconic role of evil stepmother in the Disney-powered reimagining of the classic fairy tale Cinderella. Full details are yet to surface, but director Mark Rumorak, helmer of 1 Hour Photo and Never Let Me Go, behind it, it should be an interesting movie. The first gongs of the awards season have been awarded, and Catherine Bigelow's Osama Bin Laden project, Zero Dark Thirty, has won Best Film from the New York Film Critics Circle. Also honoured were Steven Spielberg's Lincoln and Steven Soderbergh's Magic Mike. Oscar buzz for all movies mentioned will now ensue. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 has a new arrival. Jamie Foxx has signed up to play Electro, a mains-powered villain whom Peter Parker must face off against. Hopefully Foxx will be as electrifying as usual. And out this week, Seven Psychopaths. Colin Farrell and Christopher Walken dabble with a career of dognapping. Hilarity and inventive swearing ensues. Celeste and Jesse Forever, a divorced couple, try to move on while simultaneously remaining best friends. Heartbreak, of course, ensues. And The Oranges, a Christmas movie about infidelity, sleeping with your dad's best friend, and age gaps, starring Hugh Laurie. As always, hilarity ensues. And the UK box office chart this week, the intimidatingly attractive pairing of Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence debut at number 5 in Silver Linings Playbook. Christmas enters the charts at number 4 in the guise of comedy sequel Nativity 2, Danger in the Manger. And the big man himself, Santa, is hanging out with the Easter Bunny at number 3 in Rise of the Guardians. After enjoying a brief visit at the top, Bella and Edward have slid to number 2 in the chart with Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. Which means clearly vampires are no match for The License to Kill and the superb Judi Dench as Skyfall reclaims the peak of the box office, where it rightfully belongs. yet another legendary composer of the big screen. I've mentioned this piece a couple of times over the past few weeks, but this is the first chance I've had to play it in full. From the 2011 movie by Steven Spielberg, that was John Williams' Oscar-nominated theme to War Horse.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Now, I was watching the end of E.T. the Extraterrestrial with my sister and brother-in-law last weekend, and we were talking about what a great film it is in general, and in particular, how powerful the ending is. And before I play the score to you, here's John Williams' explanation of just why the end of that movie works so well.
The end part of that film, beginning with the bicycle chase, as the little boys are trying to take E.T. back to the mothership and escape the police and get him safely back. About 10, maybe 15 minutes of very difficult music, all of it planned to catch all of these sync points, these points of accent. We have the bicycle achieving escape velocity, and finally very sentimental dialogue at the end when E.T. says, "I'll be right here, goodbye." And a fanfare when the spaceship goes up. And another fanfare when it turns left. And I was having a very difficult time with the orchestra trying. I would make maybe a good take for the first five, but maybe off the next two cues and then on further cues. But I remember it so well, Stephen coming out to the podium and saying, "I will take the film off the screen so you can just play the music with the orchestra with its natural phrasing, the way it ebbs and flows in its own way, and then conform the film to what is the best musical performance of that thing." Very unusual. We usually have to slavishly phrase the music to the cuts of the film. When we had the musical performance, we felt gave us the most lift and the most sense of exultation at the end of the film. Stephen then laid the music track against the film and made a few editorial adjustments to conform to the music. And I think part of the reason the end of the film has such a kind of operatic sense of completion, real emotional satisfaction as well as satisfaction from what we see, may be in part the result of this.
awesome. The quite rightly Oscar-nominated flying theme from Spielberg's 1982 film E.T. the Extraterrestrial, demonstrating the power of movie music.
Phoenix FM.
Okay, well, we're reaching the end of the show, and I'm aware that it's been very screen-focused this evening, which is no bad thing, but here's something from the stage to end with, and it doesn't get much more stagey than this.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
And there we are. We are almost out of time again. Closing the show, that was the overture of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, followed by the original London cast performing Downtown. After the news, it's Body Talk with Melanie Watson in association with Spire Hartswood Hospital, followed by Curveballs with Nick Field at 8. And then, as always, Piers Hewitt will be here from 10 with some more of his recents and decents. Thank you, as always, to Vicky Bufton for her screen news update and to you for listening. And I hope you'll be able to join me again next Wednesday at 6 p.m. for more of the Stage and Screen Show here on Phoenix FM. I will see you next week.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.
From the Sky News Centre at 7, police investigating an allegation of rape and indecent assault have arrested a former BBC presenter and commentator